You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Silicon Valley, home to tech giants and hub of the next digital frontier, AI. Despite the recent economic downturn, layoffs, and the failure of Silicon Valley Bank, the tech sector continues to attract billions of dollars in investments. According to PitchBook, a business data firm, California was home to 41% of venture capital funding in the United States last year. That equals out to over $102 billion. But who that VC money is being invested with is the topic of a new report, co-published by the Fuller Project, a global newsroom that focuses on women, along with The Guardian. Their data shows that just 2% of the money being invested by venture capital firms is flowing to companies founded by all-women teams. And for women of color, those numbers shrink even further. Hanisha Harjani is the reporter behind this story. Hanisha joins us to discuss the disparity in VC investing and a bill on the governor's desk that could help add transparency to who VCs invest in and potentially penalize those who don't share data. Welcome. Good morning.
Morning, Vicky. Thanks for having me on.
So let's start off with the Fuller Project, what it is and how you became involved with the nonprofit newsroom.
Yeah. So the Fuller Project is a global nonprofit newsroom that produces impactful journalism on issues affecting women. I'm currently employed there as a Poynter Cook Fellow through their fellowship program, and I'm working on the California desk. So, of course, Silicon Valley has been on our radar. And the interesting thing about Silicon Valley is that it might be local to California, but its influence is ultimately global.
Yeah,
it's a huge driver of the world economy. As you mentioned, more than $100 billion in venture capital funding flowed through the state in just 2022, and Silicon Valley made up about 70% of that. So when I first heard that only 2% of venture capital funding went to all women-led teams, that was really surprising to me. But I also knew that there were so many stories in the state that could be significant in highlighting how and why.
Yeah, overall, when it comes to California and how the state likes to present itself, you know, elected leaders in the state, California comes across as a progressive state, right? And a nation leader, as the governor would say. When it comes to this type of investment, venture capital funding, just 2% of the money going to all women teams, did you get a better understanding of why that's happening in Silicon Valley?
Yeah, so I did speak to some female founders for this story, and I heard a couple of reasons why there's such little representation for women and also people of color. First, it's just, I'm sure it's not a surprise, but Silicon Valley and venture capital are really insular worlds. These female founders I spoke to, they talked about how there is just an access problem. You really need to be connected to the right people to even get your foot in the door. So the chances are really bleak for the regular person on the street with a great idea to get funded. I also got the sense that this problem is kind of just vaguely known, and VCs are saying, you know, oh, we wish we could fund more people of color or more women, but there isn't that much being done to understand what exactly the barriers to access are, and nobody's really sharing their numbers or their efforts. So I think a law like this could do a lot to remedy that.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is receiving some awareness. I mean, it bubbled up to the state legislature, and there's a bill by State Senator Nancy Skinner, a Democrat that represents Berkeley, SB 54, that is now on the governor's desk and may be signed into law. What would this bill do if it becomes a new law?
Yeah, so SB 54 would require VC firms for the first time ever to disclose the demographic data of the founders they fund to the California Civil Rights Department. So this includes race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, and their founders' disability and veteran status. It would apply to venture capital firms that are based in and have significant operations in the state, as well as those investing in California companies and soliciting investments from residents. So since venture capital is a huge industry in Silicon Valley, this would likely impact a lot of firms beyond Silicon Valley itself, to Wall Street and beyond. Additionally, this bill says that if companies refuse to disclose this information, it would empower the state to take these companies to court and penalize them for their noncompliance with fines. The bill also would empower the Civil Rights Department to potentially use the data provided to bring further civil action against VCs in the future as well.
Okay, so there would be accountability and consequences on the back end if they are not acting in good faith, and if that data shows that allows the state to act. On the front end, though, in terms of being proactive, what could this bill accomplish if this change isn't already happening within venture capitalist funding and who they choose to invest in?
Yeah. So this data we have access to, the numbers that we've kind of been quoting so far, that's been collected by third party sources, and it's not been collected in any formal way. So we've never had this data in any official capacity before. So even knowing the actual statistics would be huge in starting to hold VC firms accountable. By getting this official information, for the first time ever, we would finally be able to see which firms are exclusively funding white men and which firms are expanding opportunities to other communities. Some of the folks I spoke with say that public pressure could be huge in getting VC firms to diversify their funding. And the threat of potential lawsuits is also something that could really motivate change.
Yeah. You spoke with a lot of people related to the tech industry. One of them was Ellen Powell. Ellen is the founder of Project Include, which helps tech companies with increasing their diversity. So let's hear a part of what she told you about why VCs need to disclose this data.
These horrible numbers and the lack of progress and even going backwards, it's coming from individual firms making biased decisions. And it's kind of like this general problem. Everybody knows there's a problem, but nobody feels responsible for it because everybody else has like bad numbers and we're not sharing any of those bad numbers. I think people have gotten comfortable there.
Mm. What else did Ellen tell you about the challenges of increasing the level of investment in women-led companies?
Yeah. So, you know, historically, venture capital has been disproportionately white and male in both the partners at the VC firms, as well as the founders of the companies that are funded. Powell previously worked as a venture capitalist, and she was one of the very few women of color partners in that space. And she called that experience really lonely. So Powell says that there's a tendency for VC firms to continue investing in the same communities of that their partners are representing. She really highlighted this comfort that's in this space and said that it's kind of the way that things have always been in this world. And there's nothing really pushing venture capitalists to seek out diverse founders because it's going outside of what and who they know.
Mm. Okay, if I'm someone that doesn't walk in the world of tech in Silicon Valley, can you give us a sense and help us visualize how this disparity that you're laying out in venture capital funding, how it manifests in real life?
Totally. I mean, we see it on the entrepreneurial level where, you know, who gets to start companies, who gets access to building wealth, that's kind of decided by who gets funded. We see it in the products that are available in the market and whose needs are met. And especially now, you know, with artificial intelligence completely transforming the way that we live and work, there's, you know, already been a lot of reporting on the ways in which AI reproduces discrimination that we see in real life. If, for example, we're funding AI companies that are not diverse, what will that mean for our future and the problems that are prioritized in the communities that are served by this incredibly powerful technology? For this story, we actually reached out to the 10 largest firms investing in AI. That included some giants in our neighborhood, like Sequoia Capital, Andreessen Horowitz, and Soma Capital, to name a few. We asked them for their thoughts on the bill and for the demographic information of their partners and the founders that they fund. However, not one of them would talk to us.
Okay. You also spoke with Markissa Finch, and we're going to listen to her in just a moment about her detailing the struggles of female entrepreneurs. But first, tell us about her. How did you meet her?
Yeah, so Markissa Finch helped draft the bill, and she's been very vocal about the disparity in VC funding. She's a fintech founder herself and also a venture capitalist with a decade of experience. She's also not a stranger to the bias in these industries. She said that in the past, she's been mistaken for support staff, and that when she pitches partners at venture capital firms who are almost always white and male, they pose questions that cast doubt on her ability to lead and perform, which she says is a stark contrast to her male counterparts, who are often asked questions related to growth and potential. So she's experienced this discrimination firsthand and deeply feels the need for this transparency.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to part of what she told you.
I think there's just a whole group of entrepreneurs that we're missing out on because they just can't even get in. That's where I hope we can take some of this work, is really maybe in creating programs backed by our government to create nice little areas of opportunity for everybody.
Okay, so if this bill is signed into law, what are the biggest changes?
Yeah, so I mean, venture capital has been operating this way forever. There hasn't been anything holding them accountable for the way they fund. So this bill would kind of really create transparency in the industry that has historically been very, very closed off. And it could really change the face of it. Once this data becomes available, you know, in the same way that people can get sued for discrimination in housing and employment, that could be another way that VC firms are held accountable. When California's population is 50% women, when people of color make up over 60% of the state, why are we not seeing that data or anything close to it being represented in the VC world? Especially when you think about the fact that some of these VC firms are managing pension funds in the state, like CalPERS and CalSTRS. And those are some of the biggest funds in the country. And its members definitely consist of more than just 2% women. So ultimately, what this bill will do is, by putting the data out there, venture capital can't deny that it has a problem anymore and kind of feign ignorance. And hopefully it will push them to change the status quo.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and we're speaking with reporter Hanisha Harjani with the Fuller Project about SB 54. It is a bill that would make California the first state to require venture capital firms that they disclose the race and gender of the founders of the companies that they fund. So at the core intention of this piece of legislation that may become a new state law is transparency, right? But there's also significant opposition to this bill, namely by the business community and advocacy groups like the California Chamber of Commerce. Can you unpack why they are opposed to this legislation?
Definitely. So the California Chamber of Commerce and TechNet wrote, and that's a national network of tech industry executives, they wrote an opposition letter together to the bill, stating their concern that the data that comes out of the bill could be used in potential future lawsuits. The National Venture Capital Association also wrote an opposition letter and stated that they were worried about the financial risk that would be created as a result of the disclosure agreement. They also wrote that the legislation was unnecessarily punitive and lacks justification.
Was it easy or difficult to get in touch with them and get their to better understand their position on this?
You know, I did reach out to them all multiple times. However, none of the organizations that opposed the bill agreed to speak with me on the record. But just, you know, reading through the comments on the bill, there's a definite sense of this legislation being seen as bureaucratic overreach. They also talk about how the data collection process that's outlined here is inefficient and would require VC firms to undertake onerous administrative responsibilities. And they also said that they don't believe that this reporting requirement will meaningfully bridge this disparity in funding that we're seeing, which they say is a priority to them. But it is unclear to me what exactly their solutions are.
As you continue to look into it, and obviously with your in-depth reporting, did you get to potentially other main reasons why they would be opposed to this bill?
Yeah, I think there's a sense that this industry is really comfortable operating the way it has been, and this is a real change to that status quo. So I think there's a resistance to changing the way things have been, in addition to, you know, the threat of the lawsuits that could come about as a result of non-disclosure or potentially through the data that this bill produces.
And even potentially the threat of overregulation, right?
Definitely. I would say all of that. But You know, I've also read reports from, you know, financial institutions and consulting groups that talk about the benefits of investing in minority-owned businesses. So I think there's definitely potential that the benefits of this bill go beyond just diversity. A report from 2018 showed that businesses founded by women delivered more than twice as much per dollar invested than businesses founded by men. And another report from that same year found that businesses owned by people of color are oftentimes more profitable and less risky investments.
Hmm. Well, let's listen to Marquesa French on what she hopes the bill will accomplish.
Data collection around this issue will help us get a clearer picture on a number of levels. But what it also does when it becomes now California policy, and then hopefully one day US policy, is that we can now start to build programs and other reinforcing initiatives around making sure that we do move the needle.
And Hanisa, in your report, you acknowledge this. I mean, outside of Silicon Valley, on a national level, there have been some pretty big efforts to turn back the promotion of diversity. I mean, in your reporting, you mention a recent Supreme Court ruling on school admissions, as well as a lawsuit against an advocacy group called the Fearless Fund. How does all of this relate to the topic that we're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. This bill is for sure coming at a time when there's a lot of backlash to diversity efforts across the nation. In fact, the people who helped strike down affirmative action in June are some of the very same people who are right now suing a venture capital firm in Atlanta, which you mentioned, Fearless Fund, that prioritizes funding Black women. The group pursuing this lawsuit argues that Fearless Fund's race and gender preference is illegal, though from the data that we have available, we know that Black women get less than 1% of venture capital funding. So I definitely think that this bill is coming at an important time in the national discussion around equal rights and policy. However, SB 54 is not mandating that VC firms fund in any specific ways. It's just requiring disclosure. And it's going to be really interesting to see how far just disclosure can get us, because transparency requirements like this could put pressure on VCs to diversify without explicit quotas. So in a way, it's kind of an alternative approach.
Any idea whether the governor will sign it or veto it?
That's a really good question. You know, I haven't really gotten a sense of how the governor will act. He does have until October 14th to sign or veto the bill. Nancy Skinner was previously quoted saying she was optimistic about the bill getting signed, but the governor's office wouldn't really give me a statement beyond saying that the governor evaluates the bill, like all measures, on its merits. So I guess we just have to wait.
If this is signed into law, when does the data reporting begin?
Yeah, so it would start on March 1st, 2025, and it would require VC firms to gather the demographic data of the year prior. So going forward, if this bill is signed into law on March 1st, 2025, and every year after that, VC firms would have to disclose that data then.
And if it becomes a law, it would be the first of its kind in the country, correct?
Correct. Yeah. And again, you know, Silicon Valley makes up a huge amount of the venture capital funding in the country. So even though it is a California law, its effects would ripple far beyond that.
Mm. Finally, Hanisa, what do you hope readers take away from your reporting? Even if they're not even involved or they don't even think about Silicon Valley, even though we are all touched by it.
Definitely. I think that's a really good point. You know, even though this world may seem kind of far away and distant to some of our listeners right now, it does very much influence the everything that we see happening in our lives, especially, I think, just emphasizing how transformative AI has been. Who gets funding to create the next generation of these products and services is really going to define how we live our lives, whether or not you are in the venture capital world or the tech world. So I think even having people know about this disparity is incredibly powerful, even if you're not a part of this world. And I think it's also important to think, you know, why are some of us feeling distant from this world? And could this bill help all of us feel maybe a little bit more aware of how capital is flowing and how that is affecting our material reality?
Well, thank you for the deep dive.
Thank you for having me on.
Hanisha Harjani is a reporter with the Fuller Project and co-published an article with The Guardian about the lack of venture capital firm funding in Silicon Valley for women-owned or led tech companies. You can read more of their report. We have a link posted right now on capradio.org/insight. Still ahead, for those who survive a brain injury like stroke, there can be a long road to recovery, both physically and emotionally. We'll learn about an event at Sac State for stroke survivors, their care partners, and those who work in the medical field. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.